Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
Live from the land that freedom forgot, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Again, we're continuing our 2A Heavy Hitter series, show 672. And this guest, again, is going to be representing a lot of females out there because she's phenomenal at what she does. And she's a Gun for Hire alumni from Belleville, which means she goes back over 12, 13 years ago. She's a current firearms instructor and range safety officer at RTSP in Randolph. Make sure the owner at RTSP in Randolph's name is Brad. He owes me a box of cigars. It's 13 years now. He reneged on that. Brad, I'm watching you. She's an NRA certified instructor in pistol, rifle, shotgun, and carry. NRA certified RSO. She belongs to the NRA, CNJFO, ANJRPC. She's a SAW, Second Amendment Women Group Life member, a volunteer for the 2A4E Diversity Shoot. That would be Tony Simon's organization. She's also the current state chapter facilitator for A Girl and a Gun, a woman-only shooting league. She's a super enthusiastic shotgunner, and she forces herself to participate in IDPA, which we're going to discuss a little bit from now. And the reason I'm picking her on the show, A, is she's always around. I mean, I've seen her at my range. She came down. She met Rob Bermudez down there not too long ago. And I notice all of her posts are so objective and so informative, especially for the men that post, like in the New Jersey Firearms Owner Syndicate 2 page. And she's always so helpful, and there's not a CNJFO event or a diversity shoot event where there's not a post where there's a picture of her with a shotgun or in the port or something. And I just think she's very inspiring and very helpful. She was on Gun for Hire Radio in the studio at the range, Gun for Hire, 8 years ago. She let us know before that. So without further ado, Ree Tang, welcome back to Gun for Hire Radio.
Hey guys, it's been just a little while since the last time I was on the show.
Just a little while.
But so I kind of wanted to just come on and talk about what I've been doing since I was on the show last.
Hit us.
So if I take over and I start chatting too much, you let me know when we need a commercial break.
No. This is your show. We're showcasing different people. I have some housekeeping stuff that I'll do during the break, but please share the wealth of knowledge that you have, please.
So, I don't know, they say something along the lines of a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So I wanted to kind of recap where my steps have been along the way that got me 1,000 miles from where I first started. I first started shooting about 20 years ago with my stepdad. Recreationally, we would hit the range. It was kind of like a daddy-daughter kind of date. Once a week, we would go to the range, hit the diner, and hang out. I kind of took a couple basic pistol classes at Gun for Hire in Belleville. When Gun for Hire Woodland Park opened up, we joined over there. Unfortunately, in 2016, my stepdad Charlie died, and I was left at a real crossroads in my shooting career, shooting life, really. Where I had always gone with someone else. I had always gone with my stepdad. I had always gone with him. And he was the one to get us into the range, get us ammo, get us targets, get us everything we need. I didn't know how to go by myself, what to say, what to ask for, how to even do it. Like, what are the range protocols? How do I not step on anyone's toes when I'm there or be the idiot that's all by myself in a port? So I looked for classes. I looked for things around locally where I could kind of still see if this was something that I wanted to do or if this was just something that me and my stepdad did and it was in the past and I'm done with it. And I really came to the clarification that the best way to honor him and his memory in my life would be to share the thing that he loved most with as many people as possible. So I said, you know what, let me start taking some basic classes. I took basic rifle, pistol, shotgun. I took once I had those, I said, you know what, I should just do instructor credentials too. So I did the instructor version of all of those. I became RSO. I just wanted to find a way to give back to other people that might not know how to get into this, might not know how to get started, or might not know how to continue if the person that used to take them to the range is no longer around. So I started volunteering with, well, let me rewind a little bit. In 2016, please, after he had passed away, it was like the second or third ever diversity shoot. So I said, oh, you know, let me see what this is about. So I popped in and I kind of met a bunch of the cool kids. You were there. Rosie was there. Tony Simon was there. Nick Wong, Angelo, Sean, like all of my now close friends. But I showed up alone and really nervous and kind of worried, like, am I going to fit in? What do I say? What do I do? And the Second Amendment group in New Jersey is so small that it's like a very tight-knit group of people, of everyone that knows everyone, really. And I was immediately welcomed into the Cool Kids Club. So at that point, I said, you know, I want to be able to help them out at these events. So I signed up for all the instructor credentials then and just tried to learn as much about firearms and mechanics and how they work to be able to help other people figure out how they work. And once I knew the technical kind of stuff, I knew that I would be able to mentor other people and show other people with my own flavor on it. So I've said, you know what, let me volunteer at the next diversity shoot. So I picked a port, I brought my own firearms, I showed people how to use my stuff. And then I said, you know, this is really kind of an important right to maintain and fight for. So I joined as many groups that were fighting for it as possible. I joined CNJFO and ANJRPC, NRA, everything with life memberships. In 2018, there was a pretty annoying gun bill that was up that wanted to take our 15-round magazines down to 10, which is an arbitrary number in the sand, because you're going to tell me that rounds 11 through 15 are any more dangerous than 1 through 10. So I went down to Trenton, and I spoke my mind on things, and I realized at that point that they didn't care what I have to say.
Nope.
They didn't care what our feelings were, what our knowledge on the subject was, or even how it would affect the common person in this state. And I realized then that, you know, by the time it comes to testify for these bills, it's far too late. Yeah. You know, you're much better calling, writing, and letting your feelings known to your local legislators far before it even gets to the point where it gets signed. Make sure that your legislators know how you feel about such subjects. And by all means, remember to vote for the people that are going to represent your voice best. So then we came upon the pandemic. And in the pandemic, they told me that gun ranges were not an essential business. And now you're taking something that's so near and dear to my heart, something that's so important to the fabric of who I am, and you said it's non-essential. Well, number one, who are you to tell me that exercising my right as a human being is not essential? I don't care whose pay grade it's above. You can't take that away from me. So at that point, I decided, well, if I can't go to indoor ranges, I'm going to get my hunting license so I can practice at outdoor ranges. So I got my hunting license. I figured once I have my hunting license, I might as well try hunting. So now I'm a hunter as well.
Good.
After I took a few friends to the range and my sister to the range, one of the RSOs at the range said, you know, you're really good at this. You should kind of work at a range. So I got a part-time job instructing on top of the two other jobs I already have. Now I'm up to 3.5 jobs.
Good.
And then in most recently in January, I was part of a women's only shooting league in New Jersey called A Girl and a Gun. Mm-hmm. And their previous facilitator really wanted to step down and step back, and no one really wanted to fill that void. And I said, you know, I kind of have all of the criteria to do that. So I stepped up and I took over facilitating the chapter. And really, it's a way for women to have that next step after they've taken a basic class, wanting to get to go to the range and practice together, practice fundamentals, practice in a like-minded group where we kind of just, we spend an hour in a classroom. We talk about the last time we practiced, what we plan on practicing next. And then I pick fundamentals to go over in the range. So like last month we did, like tap rack bang stuff. We did forced malfunctions. And then this month we did different types of reloads. So like a tactical reload and, you know, an emergency reload. And then I also just signed up for a chief RSO class because, you know, I collect credentials like Pokemon. You got to collect them all.
It really comes down to good teachers are good students, and your journey similar to mine. I didn't have that turning point with your dad passing away, but the same thing. I wanted to learn everything. I wanted to immerse myself, and then once you learn it, you want to teach it, and then once you're teaching it, you want to learn more. And going to different schools and different ranges and different training, you get different perspectives, right? I mean, let's face it.
Absolutely. I think everybody has a different kind of, like a different spice to add to the soup. So if I'm the soup, then I want to collect as many spices as possible. So I try and learn from as many different people as possible, because as an instructor, if it's not now nailed down, I'm going to steal it from you. I'm going to steal how you explain things. I'm going to explain how you describe things. So I just kind of take everyone's style and make it my own.
so you love shotgunning, and I want you to continue your story and your journey because it's so inspiring. But I tell this story all the time. In Belleville, probably 12 years ago, I had an elderly woman taking a shotgun class because she wanted to learn how to do skeet and trap shooting, because she found out friends of her were doing it. And I was explaining to her how chokes work, and she says to me, like a garden hose.
Yeah.
And I was like,
perfect.
Why didn't I?
100%. I never thought about it that way.
30 years I'm teaching, and I never thought that a choke works like a garden hose. So if it's narrow, the stream's going to go far, but pinpoint. If it's wide, it's not going to go far. And you can actually simulate the muzzle of the shotgun moving, the way the water whips through the air. That's the way the shot would come out, like a tail.
Yeah, you know? That's brilliant.
And I was like, I just stole that, by the way. Well, that's what I want. I want you and all of our listeners to steal that, and I want you to perpetuate that. It's just anybody who's narrow-minded thinking they can't learn anything else, or I can't learn anything from that person. From the mouths of babes is such a true quote too. You just never know what you're going to hear. So here was this woman who was like 75 years old. I was probably 50 at the time. And she gave me a learning thing that I taught all of my instructors, and they continue to teach it every time they teach a shotgun class. So, again, what you're talking about is inspiring here. So you're just out there. Other than your part-time gig at RTSP and Randolph, everything else you're doing is free. You're volunteering like everybody else does, right, Ray?
Yeah, and I think that there shouldn't be a financial barrier to getting into this and getting started. And if somebody comes up to me and says, you know, all I can afford is half an hour and I've got a high point, I'll teach you. You know, I will give you pointers. I will point you in the right direction. I'll invite you to the range. Like, I'll hang out with you. I don't think that everyone can afford the most expensive training packages and high-end guns and everything out there. So I want to give as many people accessibility as possible. I want to point as many people in the right direction as possible. And I understand that I might not be the best instructor for everyone, but I know all of the cool kids in New Jersey. I'm sure one of them's the right person for you. There's so many events that people can show up to and get started for a relatively low cost, like the diversity shoot. If you don't know if the shooting sports are even for you, show up for $20 and you get a slice of pizza and some free ammo and you get to shoot other people's cool guns.
Right.
So correct. I've always tried to, you know, donate my time to those kinds of events when I can. Now I have my plate a little full with the girl and a gun. And it's kind of a wonderful group of women that I get to mentor and watch grow in front of me. And it's like they're the most inspiring to me, because it took me decades to get to where they are in their journey. And here I am still struggling to force myself through IDPA. And they're crushing my scores. I'm just slow is my problem. Can I'm accurate about, but slow.
You reluctantly get into IDPA. Now that for our listeners out there that don't know, International Defensive Pistol Association, there's USPSA, IPSC, there's a couple other action type pistol organizations. It is, you know, when you talk about shooting out of the box, you're moving and shooting and you're going through various courses of fire with forced mandatory reloads, et cetera, et cetera. Again, it's not for the absolute novice. It's for someone that wants to take it to the next level. So tell us that why you had to force yourself to do IDPA, Miss Shotgun.
Well, all of my friends do it, so I had to do it too. But it's a great way to practice functional skills for if you really want to bring your handgun into a three-dimensional world, whether that's, you know, for defensive situations or concealed carry situations. It's a great way to start thinking about how to move in a world where you might have originally started in a port. And shooting in a port is great for certain types of shooting and certain types of fundamentals. But once you have to draw from a holster and start moving side to side or forward and back and or running, I'm not quite to the running part, but we won't say that yet. but it's great to kind of, you have to think about the stages, how you're going to attack them. And you have to think about like what your plan is for what you're going to do next.
You know, it's great to push you outside the box. And then again, you're also going to talk about any type of training like IDPA. Everybody there is helpful when it comes to gear and equipment and malfunctions and coaching. Am I right?
Oh my God, they're the best. It's like the most beginner friendly thing I've ever done, because I showed up on my first day and I was like, I don't even know if this is the right belt. And here I am, I've got like 20 mentors ready to jump in. I mean, it helps when you're like the only girl that shows up to some of these things. You get more advice than you want sometimes, but it's all well-meaning and it's all from a good place. So a lot of times being female in the shooting sports, you might think that everybody's going to look down on you or laugh at you or judge you based on your skill. And you might feel like you have to overcompensate and you have to be the best in the room to not be the girl in the room. And that's not true. And I don't think it's true in a lot of situations, especially in New Jersey, where we're all on the same side of the fight here, where everybody's kind of fighting for our rights and everyone's had to claw their way to get their concealed carry and to be able to get their permits and to be able to get their FID card. And some people have had to wait months or even years to be able to practice their rights. We're all on the same side. So a lot of times I might, you know, show up to events and stuff and I will be the only girl there, but it's like I've got 20 big brothers in the room ready to help me out and pick me up wherever I feel like I stumble.
And until you kick their ass, and then they're like, oh man, I kind of feel good that
I'm not
advice.
Quite to their kick their ass part in IDPA, but show up on a shotgun range and I'll give you a run for your money.
I like that. It's such a like when I saw the concealed carry numbers, which I still don't trust in New Jersey, but when I saw that females only represent 7% of the 35,000 or so carry permits that were issued, it really got under my skin. The numbers at Gun for Hire were at about 15% of the carry permits that we issued that people came and qualified for are female. So we're double the state average, but it's still paltry numbers.
I kind of believe it though, because when I do lessons and I do like our women's only concealed carry classes and our holster draw classes, I see that women in general tend to approach the shooting sports with a lot more caution than men do. Men tend to rush into and say, yeah, I could do that. And women tend to have a complete lack of confidence in themselves and their skills and think, I'm not ready for that. So I think that where it should be 50% of, you know, concealed carry holders are female, or even more, because we have more of a reason to protect ourselves. I think that there's a lot of women out there that think, I'm not ready for that, or I don't feel comfortable for that, or I don't know where to start with that. So I think that a lot of women should kind of start with a single step, like I did. You know, I wanted to be able to carry at the range and carry at home, but I couldn't carry in the car from point A to point B, which makes no sense. So I said, let me get my concealed carry license, because I won't have to take it off at the range and I won't have to take it off at home. And then I said, well, I also want it just for the travel exemptions. If I want to be able to stop and get a cup of coffee or stop and run in the grocery store, I don't have to go home, drop everything off, and then go back out. So think about it like, even if you don't feel ready to carry yet, it's the first step in being of getting there and being able to practice before you feel like you get there.
So let's say the numbers in New Jersey represent, it's 35,000 people right now. We don't know how many are in the queue because they red flagged that. The state is hiding that from the NICS information. So let's say next year we saturate out at 100,000 carry permits out of 9 million people in the state of New Jersey, and concealed carry permit holders have not contributed to any crime or anything. Could you imagine all of these tantrums and millions of taxpayer dollars and our donation dollars with the 2A groups to fight for such a small, insignificant number that the state continues to dig its heels in? Just imagine, right? 100,000 people out of almost 10 million people in New Jersey, 9.3 million people. And that's what they were fighting all of this for, because they're so hoplophobic and they hate the Second Amendment so much. I mean, it's mind-boggling when you think about it. You know, they said it was going to be the Wild West and shootouts on the streets and everything. Imagine if that focus and that energy was on criminals and crime instead of the law-abiding
I don't citizens. Even think that it's about guns themselves. I think that it's just become this boogeyman to them, where they fight it and they don't understand it, and they don't understand, like, what it could be used for, or the potential good that it could do. I mean, everybody says an armed society is a polite society, and even carrying my firearm out in the world, I've realized I've got a lot less road rage in me.
Right. It makes you think, you know, in Florida.
Yeah, but I think it's become like just a policy, a blanket policy, where people have to be anti or pro, and it's not necessarily, people want to think about the subtle nuances of the topic and the potential implications for people that are outside of the situation that they might be familiar with. So think about, you know, low income people and people of that live in dangerous areas that might need a firearm to protect themselves. Think about the people out there that use that as a way to bond with family members or carry on culture, or as a way to hunt and provide food for their family. Like, it's always like guns, bad, ah. And it's not necessarily like any deeper thought than that.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think one of the mistakes that we make is believing that there is any thought at all put into that. It's just a knee-jerk reaction, and they're towing a particular party line, and they don't even understand the concepts. Anthony and I saw that many years ago when we had the then Senate President, Loretta Weinberg, come on to the show, and she was not hostile. I have to give her props for coming, because she was not hostile to us, and she was very gracious to us, and we were respectful of her. But we could see her true mindset, in the sense that this is the party line. I don't care. Her famous quote pretty much was, "We just make the laws, let the courts set, you know, sort it all out.
Let them decide if it's constitutional or not."
Yeah.
Yep. That's what she said. We have that on record. Yep.
Yeah.
You mean like somebody saying it's above their pay grade?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Like the Second Amendment is above their pay grade.
Correct. And do we really want those people to have guns?
Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to. And I think that's the party line, because we have to remember, too, not the point, because there are plenty of shitty Republicans out there. But we have to understand and remember that the Democrat Party has always been, still is, just, you know, hides behind whatever, the party of those people. They're the party that brought the fire hoses and dogs and to stop integration. They're the ones who fostered and developed the KKK. They're the ones who still control the people that they say that they want to help.
Correct.
And that's not going to change.
Correct. I'm going to do some housekeeping, and then we're going to go back into it, okay? You guys okay with that?
Yeah, I'm good.
I guess that'll be okay for now.
That's it. She's not going to be on the show for another 8 years. Sandy, write a note.
Okay. I got to take my jabs every 8 years.
Do it. You can take your jabs anytime. I love the way you answer people's questions on Facebook. The intelligent, female level, short answered perspectives are so refreshing compared to what most of the guys answer. So that's one of the things that leaves an indelible mark on me about you, Ree. So I really appreciate that. So a couple of things. Of course, if you live in New York, New York City or New York State, you want to get MY Tac Defense, please. It's $35 a month. If you mention Gun for Hire, you get 10% off your monthly membership. It is a legal defense fund, and MY Tac Defense is headed by Pete Tillum from Esquire, from the Tillum Law Firm. Answer all of your questions, guide you with your carry permit. If you go on the Gun for Hire website, the whole roadmap of transporting from the five boroughs to New Jersey and how to get a carry permit in all of the counties was all written by Peter Tillum from MY Tac Defense. If you live in the other 49 states, you got to have U.S. Law Shield. USLawShield.com. Use Gun for Hire, one word, in your code. I'm in Florida at the moment. I have my Florida carry permit. I can't get a Jersey carry permit, but I have a Florida carry permit. And I have U.S. Law Shield. It covers me in, obviously, all the states. And I have the top coverage and everything because it's important. Mm-hmm. Decoding firearms and crime proof, think like a criminal and beat them at their own game, is available, obviously, at Gun for Hire. It's also available at Aberdeen Firearms, John Zeller in Monmouth County, and it's available in a new location. And we're taping this show on a Saturday, Ree, and the show airs on Sunday. And we have books. Phoebe dropped books off at High Caliber Ordnance in Somerville, New Jersey. And their grand opening is today. Eric and Lauren, they fought hard to get this gun store open, by the way. And hopefully they'll jump on the bandwagon like Aberdeen Guns did and get involved in CNJFO and the diversity shoot and ANJRPC, FPC, and every other organization. Because for every one or two gun stores or gun ranges that are active out there, there's 10 or more that hide their heads in the sand, which pisses me off because we all should be on the same page. Of course, my doctor, OptimalHealthWellnessNJ.com, OptimalHealthWellnessNJ.com, Dr. Joe Sambatero, concierge medicine. It's not for everybody, but for a few hundred bucks a month, you have access to a doctor 24/7. No more waiting in a doctor's office looking at those people that are eyeing you up as they're touching and exchanging body fluids. Yes, Lake Island Rifle and Pistol Club in Carteret, New Jersey is looking for junior rifle members 12 to 18 years old to learn firearm safety and to compete in small bore and air rifle competitions. Visit lakeis.org. They are our future, all right? Ree is working with the females and men. The Lake Island is working with the young kids. Their president, Tony Gallo, he bought a table at the NRA dinner that's coming up in October. Zen Float Center on Park Avenue in Scotch Plains, zenfloatcenter.com, Sharon Decker. They also are selling raffle tickets there for the NRA dinner. It's so important. I talk about Big Tent all the time and the standstrong.biz. Also, News 2A, news number two, letter A.com. Go on. It's a clearinghouse of information of what's going on in New Jersey. The Varsity Firearms Podcast by John Valenti, I think, is a very, very important information source right there. Now, let's talk about the NRA dinners that are coming up. Obviously, we have September 14th, the Atlantic County dinner at the Cologne Firehouse is coming up. October 17th, the Hunterdon County dinner is going to be the Green Pond Country Club in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, right over the border. We'll be donating and contributing. I'll probably buy tickets for that. The dinner we're directly sponsoring, obviously, is October 2nd. It's the North Jersey at the Tides Estate. And a little update from John and JJ that as of this day in early April, they've sold 28 tables of 10. That's 280 tickets and 72 individual tickets. So they're over 350 tickets. And the place only holds 500, all right? More table sponsors this week. Here we go. John Valenti from the Varsity Firearms Podcast bought a table. Joe Sapienza from West Essex Jeweler bought a table. And he's also going to be donating a piece of custom jewelry, okay, nice. That's going to be worthy of the live auction. Amanda Conjan, her husband is John from Performance at Designs, donated a gift certificate to her business. She has a wellness business, all right? She does mobile vitamin infusions, athlete recovery, and a host of other services. So all of these people are coming on. Raffle tickets. $50 raffle ticket, and you can win a $3,000 gift card to Gun for Hire, okay? That can be used for anything. Their email is fonranj@gmail.com, okay? Friends of the NRA at anj.com. John is looking for stuff. We're going to be doing a custom-built firearm. And don't forget, there's 446 businesses on standstrong.biz. I'm going to have to start shaming them one by one if they don't start donating businesses, product services. Ree, tell Brad instead of giving me that box of cigars he owes me, that RTSP and Randolph should donate a membership or a gift card or something that can be auctioned off at the dinner, and then I'll stop calling him out on welching on the bet that he lost.
All right. I'll so tell him Brad Termaroli.
Yes. Make sure. Well, he'll listen to the show. Brad. Brad. I still love you, by the way. A couple other things. This is a rumor that's going around, and you're going to be seeing more and more of this. We have to be aware of this. The Attorney General is arming the Alcoholic Beverage Commission with his gun-free zone signs. Liquor store owners are being supplied with those signs and strongly encouraged to display them. All right. It seems that he's pushing people to do that. Now, you can go into a liquor store and carry your gun because you're not drinking, all right?
There's but nothing like advertising soft targets, right?
Soft targets. So what they're doing is they're doing the extortion thing. Anything that under the AG's control, they're going to be telling people to put these signs, again, to make it unsafe. So, Ree, if you wanted to stop and buy a six-pack of Michelob Ultra on the way home, you'd have to de-gun in your car and then re-gun when you get back into the car, which is more unsafe than just having you walk into a liquor store. And you could also end up being in that liquor store as it's being robbed by one of the criminals that our AG lets back out on the street in the catch and release revolving door criminal justice system. So, of course, it's such a quandary that they put us in all the time. Meanwhile, anything the government touches, right? The ATF is demanding answers. The District of Columbia, for 3 years, there was no one in the District of Columbia that could sell or disperse firearms. So the police department did it until some gun stores opened there, right? So guess what? In 7 months from 20 to 2021, the DC area's largest police department sold guns, and over 25% of the guns that they sold were used in crimes, straw purchases. How do you like that? How do you like that? We're going to control this.
Is that job security? Where they just that's job security. Create crime so that they can steal a job.
I like the way you think. I like the way you think. And then this Wednesday, Dan Schmutter is going to be down in Trenton, Third Circuit. Remember, we're still waiting for answers on our sensitive places from the Third Circuit. It's been a long time. I'll probably have Dan on the show next week to discuss this. But the oral arguments, and this segues right into you now, Ree, because you talked about what's the arbitrary number, right?
So yeah, in 2018, when we went from 15 rounds to 10 rounds, and it was just, you know, I can carry multiple magazines, but the 11th through 15th round in my magazine, my current magazines, is now illegal, but it's okay to have multiple 10-round magazines.
You know, also, last week, we had Dr. Pirelli on the show, and we went on that Rutgers University website, and we looked at the locations where you can store your guns, and like Gun for Hire wasn't listed, where we have lockers where you could store your guns, but there was like people's houses that were listed that when we
called the FFL, which would make it legal.
Yes. So Jules
exporting goods, which
does. Yes, Jules sent a great letter. He wrote, "Ant, great show. It got me thinking. I visited the gun storage map site published by Rutgers University's researcher Michael Antisis, and by virtue of the fact that Rutgers University published on their website, below is one place they recommend my guns to be stored." I don't think so. It's like somebody's house in Elizabeth. He goes, "Now that I'm retired from Rutgers University, I think I'll be doing some follow-up research into the esteemed researchers' recommendations." Jules, I love you. We're going to have you on the show anyway, and you're going to report on this. And John Petrolino filed a Freedom of Information Act. Ree, you're going to love this. Mm-hmm. He wrote, "Happy Easter. I'm halfway through the show, blah, 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 blah." He goes, he filed a Freedom of Information, and he got the request is pending. He wants to know the race of denied applicants, number of pending applications, number of violent crimes committed by PTC, FID, and permit holders, dates for applications and when they were denied or issued. And he's also working on a project involved in the interest of public safety, safety denials. More info when I have it. See you at the DC fundraiser. John Petrolino, the Penn Patriot. This is a beautiful thing. So, Ree, let's talk about magazines. Let's talk about denials. Let's talk about your activism. Go, go, go.
I think that it's a lot for people to think that that they can't get involved or they shouldn't get involved or that their voice wouldn't matter as much in the fight for their rights, or even they're scared to get involved. But like I said in the beginning, a journey of 1,000 miles just starts with a single step. So if you're, you know, legislators are going to be representing your vote in Trenton or your voice in Trenton, write them a letter, tell them how you feel, let them know that, you know, this is what your what matters to you. If defending your life, your family's life, or having a viable means to defend your life is important to you, make sure you vote that way and you vote for people that are going to speak for you. It's not hard. There's a website, njledge.gov or whatever, where you can look up your legislative district, and it starts an email. All you do is fill out your name and the body of the email, and you hit send. And it'll send emails to your local legislators and let them know what your feelings are. It's hard for some people to show up in Trenton. I get that. It's mm-hmm. far for the people in the far north of the state. It's hard to take off on a work day. But it's not hard to sit down at your computer and type out an email. It takes like 3 minutes.
Even if you get a form letter back, like Mikey Sherrill has been sending these form letters back that she believes in the Second Amendment because she was in the military, but sorry, but you shouldn't own guns, right? They log that information in, how mm-hmm. many yays, how many nays they got. And the other thing is, I've been talking about this for years, Ree, and this, I'm going to give you more work to do, okay? Because, you know, and you're not getting paid for it either.
Of course not.
Keep pushing people to apply for their FID cards because
I think numbers matter.
Yeah, I think it matters when they look at it. I've had it confirmed from two state senators and one state assemblyman that they look at those numbers come election time. They ask their chief of staff, how many people have FID cards in my voting legislative district? Oh, 650 out of 32,000 people? I don't care about them. All right. If you have 2,500 or 3,000 out of 32,000 people, the numbers are starting to look good. All of a sudden, they'll start paying attention to you. All right. It's like union membership with the Democratic Party or whatever, or government workers. For the small amount of money, just tell people, listen, it's worth 4 points at motor vehicles. This is the angle I use for everybody. Even if you're not a great big gun guy, when your kids, grandchildren turn 18, sit down with them, get an FID card. Your wife is not into guns. You could say, hun, you might want to go to the gun store and buy me ammo as a gift one day. So please let me help you apply for an FID card. The more
I think that a lot of times the men's approach to a problem is to run headstrong into it and try and solve things with brute force.
Yes.
And sometimes if you want to win somebody over from being scared to do it, maybe if there's a woman in your life or a lady in your life that says, oh, I don't know if an FID card is for me, I like to say it's kind of like a driver's license in the way that you're not going to be forced to drive if you have it. But if you ever want to use it and you want to choose to use it or you think it might be right for you, you would already have it at that point. So I like to kind of be a little gentler with my solution.
See?
You know?
See, and that's why we had you on the show. But again, if I've had three elected officials who are incumbents tell me that, then you know the Democrats are doing the same thing. And they're looking to see how many people have FID cards, all right? And so it's important. This is a good marker that we have. Of course, we try to get that information under Freedom of Information Act. They won't give it to us. Right. But their chiefs of staff, they could go to the state police and say, you know, assemblyman or senator or whatever, assemblywoman wants to know how many FID cards in a legislative district. They get it in 2 minutes. And we can't have a voice. You know, you could write all the strong letters you want, but if less than 1% of their constituents have an FID card, they're not going to pay attention to us. They're not going to pay attention to us unless you're a high donor. Let's face it.
And then
so continue telling us what, Sandy?
And they'll still take your money and vote whatever way they want. You know?
Of course. Of course. Of course. So continue, Ree. It's all yours.
So I think as far as, you know, with the online forums and the questions that people get, it's easy sometimes to want to be the smartest guy in the room or the smartest person in the room and be snide or be sarcastic or turn everything into a joke.
I hate the attacking.
But everybody forgets that we all started somewhere. We all started with a lack of knowledge somewhere, and someone was kind enough and generous enough to share their information with us. No one was born knowing everything and how to navigate the stupid convoluted rules and laws that we have in New Jersey. We all had to kind of learn through doing, making a few mistakes along the way, asking other people. So it's easy to sit back and go, dummy, you should know this already, or you don't know the laws. But, you know, where are people supposed to turn to answers? You know, so I try not to be that voice on the online forums that's just another sarcastic LOL or just another joke or angry response. You know, people want answers, and it might be, yeah, someone should have been fighting all these years for our rights alongside of us, but you know, maybe they're new to this, and mm-hmm. people get into the shooting sports every single day for different reasons. And I'm not here to judge the reasons that people want to get into the shooting sports. I just have always seen myself as the welcoming face of the shooting sports. So I always want to just help other people get into it for whatever reasons they want to pursue. I like to say that, you know, with firearms instructors, it's like regular school where you have, you know, kindergarten through college. And I might not be the best instructor for college level tactical stuff, rolling on the ground, all sorts of stuff. But I really specialize in the kindergarten teacher kind of realm where I want to teach people the basics. I want to teach people how to do it right and how to hold it and how to look at it. And, you know, if you see yourself as someone that's involved in the shooting sports in New Jersey, you have to remember that we're all on the same side. We're all fighting for our rights. So every time you drag someone else down, especially in a public forum, every time that you make fun of somebody, you might be pushing somebody away. And we cannot afford to turn anyone else away from our side of the fight. You know, if I can get everyone from at least anti to the middle, like maybe it's not for them, but they're not anti me having it anymore, I think that's a win.
You know, I use this is the comparison I use. When somebody posts, I'm using air quotes, when somebody posts a stupid question on the internet, it's to me, it's comparable to when I'm standing by the entrance of Gun for Hire and that person walks in and has that bewildered or apprehensive look on their face. And I approach and say, hi, can I help you? I'm new to this. Bingo. This is the person I want now. I'm going to introduce them to staff. I'm going to spend 20 minutes of my busy day. I'm going to walk them through. We're here for you. Here's my card. Here's my training director's card. Here's Phoebe's card. Here's this. Like, you know what I mean? Like this, let me bring you into the gun store and introduce. If you need help, any questions, filling out your FID card or whatever, that's how I look at the posts when someone posts something, online. It's the same thing. We want to embrace that person because we want to continue to build our army. And you're absolutely right. Not everyone has the time or the fortitude to go down to Trenton and testify. And not that helps, but everybody helps in their own way. If somebody who has a government job that can't poke their head out because they have to be careful, if they got five people to apply for their FID card last year, that's more than 90% of the people posting nasty shit online have done the entire year.
Exactly. You know, I'm listening to you guys talk, and there's a common denominator between the two of you. And
we're both cute.
Yeah, you're both cute. Well,
exactly.
We both like guns.
We both like guns. I had dinner with a friend the other night who's a Michelin star chef, and
hoity-toity.
Go ahead. Right? But we were talking about kind of the same thing, in a sense that a brilliant chef is learning all the time from everyone they meet.
Oh,
yeah. They would love to go over to grandmama's house and sit down and watch her make her meatloaf. And they would sit there and eat it and compliment on it and whatever. Even though that person had never, ever been to culinary school, fancy this or that or the other thing. And they share what they know with one another because they have a true love for food and for what they do. The hack, on the other hand, the LOL guy and all this other stuff that you're talking about, in the food business, is the one who, gets into the business because I can make a hamburger, so why not open a smash burger place, you know? And they're a hack, and they don't care about learning, and they don't care about what they truly do. So they're very critical of everything, and I think it's out of defense for their own ignorance.
So, you know, since we're on this path, There's times, I mean, I'm doing this 34 years now. There's times where I see a post and I want to pile on, you know, and I'm like, oh, God, look at this. Yeah. This is dumb. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Stop.
Right.
And think about it. Think about the perspective from that new person.
Right.
You know, we want, you know, use the search function, dummy. Okay. Yeah. How about, you know, here's the answer, or here's where you can find the answer. Just use the search button. You know, let me show you. If you have any other questions, ask me in the future. And in defense of Reed, that's how most of her answers come off. Okay. And that's one of the big reasons why I have her on the show every 8 years.
I think, you know, like I'm just as fallible as everybody else, where I had a crappy day at work and I want to just go online and pick on somebody else. But it takes a little bit of grace to step back and take a deep breath and realize that, you know, just because I'm having a bad day, there's people genuinely out there that are seeking information. And if I can help facilitate that, if I can help point them in the right direction, you know, it ends up making me feel a little bit better about myself and my day, because at least something good has come of it. I think that a lot of times, you know, it's really the fool that thinks they're ever done learning with anything. Right. So I always view it as every time that I get a chance to teach somebody else, it's reinforcing that information with myself, and it's relearning that information with myself. And every time that I get a chance to explain how a striker fired gun works or how a round of ammunition works, it's reinforcing that information within myself, and I become more confident in the knowledge that I'm sharing. Right. So I always view it as, you know, teaching is part of a learning experience for me too. It's easy to want to just be a jerk online, but just remember that everybody out there is just one more soldier for our side of the fight if you can win them over.
And there, see, right there, right, that is the difference between a true consummate professional, and that's what I'm seeing in you guys, the commonality, and someone who's not.
It's the same thing with not putting walls up in the two-way community.
Yeah.
My group is best. My range is best. My school is best. My gun store is best. Everybody has something different to offer.
Right.
And you know what? I know it's really played out. You know, a rising tide raises all boats, right? I mean, we've heard that before, but too many people get stuck in the mud, and you can't do that. And listen, it's not easy sometimes. You know, you're answering the same question. Are hollow points legal in New Jersey? I get it. But that, like you said, Ray, that person had their awakening. They just got into guns. And of course, they talked to their local cop, who's not a gun person, who said, you can't own hollow points in the state of New Jersey.
Right.
And rather than them, you know, and when they Google it, they get 12 different answers. Right. So they go to the professionals, they go to one of our sites or something, you know, social media or whatever, and they post that question. And again,
I think on that note as well, when we are answering questions like that, try and provide resources, because the only way that we're going to combat all of the bad information is being able to show in black and white, well, here's the law, here's what it says, and this is why my answer is that.
Right.
So a lot of times people are like, yeah, you could have hollow points, dummy, but explain, you know, this is why people think that you can't, and this is why you can, and when you're allowed to and when you're not allowed to. So I think it's, you know, if you don't provide your sources, you're just another, you know, static noise in the background.
Yes.
So always point to your sources.
Where can people find you online? People are going to listen and go, I need to cyber stalk her. Where is she?
Well, all of my contact information is on our Girl in a Gun chapter landing page, which is www. Pardon me for 1 minute.
What are you, stupid? You can't remember where your site is. How was that? Was that good, Cindy? Was that restrained?
Perfect. I'll wait for another 8 years so you could pick on me again. It's a girlinagun.org/chapter/New Jersey-Central. So it's central. we're all over New Jersey, so we're just technically central New Jersey. But I do one meetup a month in Randolph, one down in Flemington. And hey, would you mind if I bring my girls over to Gun for Hire in Woodland Park?
Phoebe at gunforhire.com.
And I'm in.
I'm in. We're 100% in. I'm surprised you haven't approached me or asked me in the past, because you know I've been thinking about transitioning, but that's another story. Well, the next
however
show.
However you want to express yourself, we I'm don't here care. To support you.
That's the whole, you know, it's so frustrating trying to get that, you know, to beat the media perception and let them know that it's a big tent, that we could care less about race, religion, you know, sexual persuasion.
I'm not technically white. I'm other. I'm mixed. And I've always, because I've come from different cultural backgrounds, you know, I've always straddled lines of what box to check when it says fill in your race. So I think that the people that are obsessed with identity politics don't actually have to live in the shoes of the people that they want to speak for. So there's a lot of social justice warriors out there that want to fight for, you know, minorities and whatnot without letting the voices of the minorities speak for themselves.
Right.
Exactly right.
But it's also part of the media and the elites. They want that tribalism. They want us all to believe that we fight over our color, our race, our religion, or whatever. And people get immersed in the gun community,
it would be a damn shame if we realize that divided we stand and divided we fall and united we stand.
Right.
Because it's not about, at least in the Second Amendment, it's not about identity politics. It's not about who you are or what you are. If you want to pull a trigger, I want to help you learn how to do it. I don't care what you identify as. And as such, I have so many different types of students that come into the classes, from, you know, women that have their husband bought a gun and they just want to take a safety class and they don't even want to shoot, but they just want to learn how to use it just in case. I just try and get everybody in the door, get started. If I can get you to pull a trigger, I'll get you to realize how much fun it is. And once I get you to realize how much fun it is, you're going to want to keep doing it.
Isn't that a great feeling when you take some, and you've had duds too. We all had duds where you get, oh, it's not for me. Okay. It's not for you, but at least you tried it. And I showed you that we're not, you know, burning crosses in the backyard or whatever, but
honestly, in 3 years, I've only had one student that pulled the trigger once and said, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, I see that randomly. Yeah, but it's such a great feeling when you just change that narrative and people try it and they're like, oh my God, it was a lot harder than I thought, because people watch TV and they think that you just hold a gun up and, you know, it goes right into the center of the bullseye.
Why didn't you just shoot him in the toe?
See, that's why I like shotguns, because I don't have to be accurate. I just have to be close.
So you love shotgun shooting. What's your favorite type of shotgun shooting?
Definitely sporting clays.
Ah, yeah,
so we have, I signed up for CNJFO's sporting clays fundraiser on June 29th. I didn't specify a squad. So if anybody else signs up and they want to be in my squad and hang out all day, by all means, just put my name down. I don't care.
Is that going to be at Lehigh Valley or where is it?
Yeah, it's at Lehigh. It's one of the most beautiful courses. I love
it. Bill Bockenberg is the owner. He's a fellow board member with me on the NRA. And to say he's a perfectionist like me would be an understatement. And his place is beautiful. For a public sporting clays course, it's probably the prettiest one I've ever been on in my entire life. And they're very nice there and accommodating, and the course can be challenging, right, Rhea?
Just every time that you think that you've got it, the wind changes and you don't got it.
Yes.
It's very entertaining, and it's the reason why I fell in love with sporting clays is because before Charlie passed away, one of the firearms that he gave me was an 870 pump. And I started sporting clays with that.
Wow.
And I just fell in love with the sport. I just fell in love with moving targets and a dynamic target that explodes into orange dust every time you hit it. It's just a lot of fun. And you try doing sporting clays with a pump action. I've now upgraded to semi-autos, but it's a little tricky.
Hey, I love it. What other words of advice you could give before we close this show, please?
I think that every time that a guy asks me, how can I get my mother, sister, wife, girlfriend, female in my life into the shooting sports, a lot of times they want to force this person, force this woman in their life to just try it, just try it. And a lot of times you have to be gentler with somebody that might be scared, that might not think that this is for them. Just try inviting them to the range and letting them be around it a couple of times before forcing them to try it. Let them just see what it looks like. Let them see how to go and how to do it, and just stand, you know, behind you in the port with some eye and ear protection and just watch the first couple of times. It might not be for everyone. And as much as we want to share the thing that we love most with the people we love most, you also have to recognize that there's going to be people that choose not to exercise their Second Amendment right. You know, I'm married, and God bless my husband for putting up with all of my hobbies, but guns aren't for him. He doesn't really care. It's not really his thing. But at least he does not stop me from doing the thing that I love the most. He'll come to the range if I want to, and he's definitely had to listen to my safety lessons several times. But I'm not going to force him on it. I'm not going to force him to go do things and force him to come to the range. As long as he doesn't tell me I can't do it anymore, we're still good.
Perfect example is what you just said. So we have a member, Eric, from Wayne. Great guy. Has a lovely wife and daughter, and his wife was very reluctant, and he had a couple of attempts, and we talked, and he just brought his wife to the range a couple of times, just had her walk around, meet and greet, say hello to people. You know, a lot of times you can fib, you know, you can say, listen, like, we're on the way home, I gotta stop and pick something up or check something real quick, come in with me, hun, just to help break that narrative, to show that it doesn't look like a dirty cave with the end of worms sticking out of it or something, right? Like a hobbit hole. And so he did that, and then eventually he did get his wife to shoot. And she might not be the person who's going to go twice a week to shoot, but he helped change the narrative, and he got her into it. So you're absolutely right. That soft approach can work. And again, it's how you introduce somebody. Starting them with a 22 and then a 9mm instead of a 44 Magnum is also very important.
Yeah. Yeah, very important. You know,
I mean, and if I had sure my way, everyone would just start with shotguns, but... Yeah,
And also making sure the range maybe isn't too busy and you have a 308 on your right side and an AR-15 with no muzzle brake on your left side. You know, that can also help as well. So these are all the things that
I think it's also important to go to the nicer ranges in our state. You know, like, we all know that there's some more rustic ranges out there. Right. And we also know that there's some nicer, more beginner friendly ones. Like, no shame on the rustic ranges out there. Like, I love them for the charm that they have as well. But for beginners, maybe we want to go somewhere that's a little polished.
Yeah, they can have a sparkle bucket as a bathroom. Yeah.
Yes. All right, Sandy, you're very inspiring, very encouraging. I look forward to having you on the show again. It won't be 8 years, I guarantee you.
Just seven and a half.
Yes. Let's hope our oral arguments go good for the arbitrary mag capacity and the assault weapons ban evil features on Wednesday. Dan, Godspeed, kick butt out there. ANJRPC, NRA people. Hopefully the Third Circuit will come through with our FPC, NRA, ANJRPC cases on sensitive places so we can start going after more low-hanging fruit in New Jersey. We're just waiting to see how that case comes out. Thank you all for your support. Ree, I can't thank you enough. Ree, real quick again, girl with a gun, I'm going to catch you off guard. How do we find you before you start running chapters at Gun for Hire? Please.
Well, it's www.agirlandagun.org/chapter/New Jersey-Central. So it's, right. If you go on A Girl and a Gun and you just search for the New Jersey chapter, you'll find all of my contact information. There's my email, my phone number. Send me a message if you want. I'm here to help.
Thank you so much for representing. We need more like you out there. I really love and appreciate everything you do for the community.
Well, thank you for being there for so much of my journey through the student sports from Belleville all the way through today.
God bless. I love that. Thank you all. Sandy, you're out.
Thank you so much for it was just so good to talk to you again.
Always. Pleasure.
Well, it looks like you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterfeit Media production. The music is a podcast with managed by Counterpoint Music, LLC, New York, New York. On behalf of our show host, master trainer, Anthony Calandro, author of Crime Proof, Think Like a Criminal and Beat Them at Their Own Game, available wherever great books are sold, which he actually did mention this week. We love you guys from the shadows of the New York City skyline and the beautiful sunny Gulf of Mexico. Eat your heart out. We love you guys. God willing, Jesus carried in the battery. Hold out. We will see you again next week. Sweet home.